So I'd like to share something a little bit more positive than what we've been hearing. And I want to start with the blessing that I feel being a part of a member here. And one of the ministries that I have the blessing and pleasure of leading is the adult faith, what is known as the RCA, which we have named the Camino. Now, the Camino is the word that means the road or the pathway, and it's about leading our candidates who are going to be welcomed as full members of the church on the Easter Vigil. And we have 5 candidates with us. So we have 2 that are going to be baptized, 2 that are going to be confirmed, and 1 who's going to be accepted into our parish as a community. And so part of what we do as the Camino in the journey and the teaching is we learn about the Catholic faith. And one of the things that we learn about is, I'm going to use my big Catholic word here, is the corporal works of mercy, which basically is those physical works of helping those that are in need, those that are hungry to be fed, those who are giving a drink to those who are thirsty, clothing those who need clothing, visiting the sick, visiting those who are in prison. And so these are all the works that we are called to do. And so instead of just talking about them, so what we decided as a team is that we are actually going to live the experience. So on Friday night and yesterday, Saturday morning, what we did is that we prepared meals for 175 plates. So Friday night we did a cooking storm in the kitchen down here, and Saturday the group went to the Benedict Labra House, which is a homeless shelter in Griffintown, and it was a wonderful experience to sacrifice our time, our money, and energy to be able to go and spend some time with these men. And for me, the more important part is the fellowship time, the time to actually talk and listen to their story and a chance to give them a voice. And that was very powerful for me. When we talk about the corporal works of mercy, the key word is mercy. It is very important and a powerful idea. And mercy is one of the recurrent themes throughout the Lenten season. The compassion of our loving and merciful God. It is something that we constantly need to remember and focus. Our God is always faithful and consistent. His love for us never changes. No matter how we behave, no matter how serious our sins may be. And it needs to be that way because God not only loves, He is love. Love is the very essence of His being. He cannot not love. I am who I am. His love is like the sun, which gives its warmth to all mankind equally, all around the world. All of mankind, those of us who try really hard to be good each day, even to those who are not good. His love is also like a gentle, nurturing rain that falls on the good and the bad alike. It also seeps into everything in between, every nook and cranny of our existence. His love is there, no matter where we are. And His love is not dependent on whether or not we deserve it. If you think about it, and the things that are going on around our world, many of us find it difficult to understand and think about how God is so loving in this way. So the question arises, if God's love for us is so constant and unchanging by our behavior, does this mean we can do anything we like? Does it matter whether we lead a good life or a bad life? Whether we sin or not, Well, the answers to these questions should be a resounding yes, it does matter. And here's why. It is absolutely true, and we should never have doubt about this, that if we sin, God continues to love us, as He always has and does. But it's also true that if we sin, we are not loving Him. And so we become separate from Him. Love is essentially mutual. It's a two-way process, and it is bonding. Love is not complete until it's reciprocated on both sides. So God's love is not perfect, is not fully effected in me until I have opened myself to receive it and to give mine in return. When we sin, God does not stop loving us. He never does. It is we who stop loving Him. It is we who break away from the relationship. So this brings up another question. Does God kill people? In today's gospel, some people approach Jesus and tell Him how some Galileans were being killed by the Roman soldier in the temple sanctuary. Did they want Jesus, as a Galilean himself, to denounce the Roman authorities? But Jesus responds by taking another track altogether. Instead, He mentions another incident, apparently a sheer accident when a building fell on some purely innocent people and killed many. Now, I'll paraphrase what He said. Jesus asked, did these people die because of their sin? Was this God's way of punishing them? Then if I do not suffer in this way, does that mean I have no sin? It is quite common to meet people who believe that such events are acts of punishment by God, or that their good fortune is because of their virtuous life. And we heard about the preaching of the prosperity gospel. Perhaps even more frequently we meet people who ask why a loving God does not prevent such things from happening. As if God is some kind of puppet master who rules the world by pulling strings. When a jumbo jet falls out of the sky and everyone is killed, is it because those passengers deserve a death? When thousands are killed or made homeless as a result of a terrible disaster, an earthquake, or a hurricane, are we to read this as an act of punishment to those people or even to the whole country? Does God love those victims less? Or are those who escape such disaster are loved more by Him? I invite you now to gaze up at Jesus on the cross. Take a moment. Gaze up at Jesus on the cross. Does God love Jesus any less because He let His Son be crucified and feel utter loneliness? If I am myself regarded as very successful in my life, a few weeks ago, a hockey tutorial came to CCM and they did a YouTube video on me, on the work that I do with the pros. And a buddy of mine last week says, hey Marco, I saw your video. He says, you have over 100,000 views. I says, you're famous now. And I go, oh, I'm not famous, I'm infamous. There's a difference. Whether I have money or career or status, it does not mean at all that I am a good person or I am without sin or that God actually loves me more. If I suffer in my life, it does not mean that God does not love me or that I am more sinful than others. In fact, every single experience I have is a sign of God's love. If I'm showered with blessing, spiritual, emotional, or material things, they are given to me that I may share them with others, so that I may become a channel of God's love to others. If I am struck down with disaster, disease, pain, or failure, it is again a message for me to seek and find in what is happening to me in the presence of a loving God. It is often through these experiences that we can grow and come closer to God and others. Disease like cancer can draw out of us, our relatives, our friends, an extraordinary depth of compassion and care. And the flip side to that, our good health, our material prosperity can often lead to our selfishness, individualism, and neglect of others. Where there is love, there is God. And where there is no God, we are not likely to find very much real love. In a way, all of our experience, the good, the bad, are not meant as punishments or reward in how we live, but an invitation. It is an opportunity to come closer to God. God's incredible love and His mercy, either in gratitude or in joy and suffering and anger, the meaning of it all is the chance to increase intimacy with the love of the Father. That is why we are here. And we need absolutely to get rid of the idea of an angry, disappointed, vengeful God threatening catastrophe on the wicked world. This is still an idea that's being fostered. Instead, we need to remember that we are invited over and over to cooperate with God, with His love. So today's reading are asking us to take a good look at ourselves. We might be like that tree that Jesus is talking about in this parable in the gospel. It is alive, but it bears no fruit. Should it be cut down? The man responsible for that tree asked the owner, "Give it one more year." Every Lenten season is our chance to fertilize our tree and to see how it can be more fruitful. I am being called not merely to survive personally as a Christian, to hang in there. I am being called to grow continually in becoming a truly loving person, loving God and loving all those around me. Lent is not passive. It is active. We need to move, to push forward, and to dig a little deeper in search of that deeper love. I want you to think about these points to reflect upon. What kind of influence am I within my family circle? At work, how do I relate with my colleagues? And is my presence a positive element in my workplace? What is my attitude towards strangers, that is, people I do not know and who are not useful to me? What kind of contribution do I make to the lives of our community right here? In general, what kind of contribution could I be making in my society, or do I expect society to satisfy my only needs and those of my family? Some food for thought. On the one hand, I need to realize that God always and everywhere loves me. God's love is complete, full, and perfect, and we are encouraged to accept it. We are called to grow in love and mercy and become genuinely loving and caring person, one who loves both God and others in words and in action. We are called, as much as possible, to imitate Him in this. to love always and unconditionally. And there is no need for us to ever be afraid of God. He will never directly punish us or the world around us, but we do have a choice to come closer to Him, to experience that love. He is reaching out to us, to open ourselves to that love. Or we can choose to be like the prodigal son, to go our own way, separate ourselves from Him. The choice is up to us. God's love is there for the taking. What are we waiting for?